Tonight, several breaking stories as we come on the air. The news on the Pfizer vaccine for children tonight. That key FDA panel late today saying yes. And the state of emergency right now. Tonight, this nor'easter, another round. New York to New England, wind gusts reaching 75 miles per hour. First, that Pfizer child vaccine, the vote near unanimous. 17 in favor, 1 abstaining. And the new data tonight, Pfizer saying the vaccine is 91% effective for children against symptomatic infections. This vaccine for kids 5 to 11, children will receive 2 shots, each shot 1/3 the adult dose. We know many parents still have questions tonight, so Dr. Jha is standing by to help answer them. Also, that powerful nor'easter still churning tonight, more heavy rain, flash flooding. And now our weather team says one of the real concerns going into the night, dangerous winds, gusts up to 75 miles per hour, and the new storms at the end of the week. Rob Marciano tracking it all. The major new headline from that movie set disaster for the first time tonight. Images of actor Alec Baldwin, cinematographer Helena Hutchins, and the crew on that set in that church where the deadly shooting occurred. And what we're now learning tonight about a past allegation against the assistant director who authorities say handed the gun to Alec Baldwin. What allegedly happened on a previous movie set. President Biden on the eve of a big foreign trip. Will he get a victory on his domestic agenda before he goes? The clock ticking, and tonight, how to pay for it. The developing headline involving corporations that celebrate making $1 billion in profits or more to their shareholders, but pay little or no taxes. Now the plan that would get them to pay 15% in taxes on those profits. Rachel Scott on the Hill. That deadly shooting at a mall tonight, authorities revealed the gunman showed up with multiple weapons. A boy found dead in the family home with his siblings living there, and now authorities say the body had been there nearly a year. Overseas tonight, and news coming in on Queen Elizabeth again, now canceling her trip to the climate summit in Glasgow amid new questions about her health. What we're learning tonight. And have you ever thought about the car your parents used to drive when you were a kid, where it might be today? This one is America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. This nor'easter still churning, set to slam into the east again tonight. Wind gusts up to 75 miles per hour. Rob is standing by here in a moment, but we are going to begin tonight with this major news on Pfizer's child vaccine. Tonight, an FDA advisory committee has endorsed the first COVID vaccine for children 5 to 11. We know many parents at home still have questions, so Dr. Jha is here in a moment as well. But first tonight, the new details. That key FDA advisory panel reviewing Pfizer's data, which they say shows the vaccine is safe and 91% effective at preventing symptomatic infection in children. The experts today weighing the benefits against the risks. One FDA official arguing children 5 to 11 are, quote, far from being spared the harm of COVID. Not just the primary symptoms, but possible long-haul symptoms too, brain fog and other symptoms that could affect school down the road. As we all know, the FDA usually follows quickly with an official authorization, then the CDC, which means shots could begin for the 28 million American children eligible by next week. ABC's Steve Osunsami leading us off tonight from the CDC in Atlanta.
The vote this evening was nearly unanimous with 17 yeses and 1 abstention. An FDA advisory panel says that the benefits far outweigh any risk, and they're saying yes to the Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11 years old.
We don't want children to be dying of COVID, even if it is far fewer children than adults, and we don't want them in the ICU.
They were convinced by a study from the drug maker where Pfizer gave 2,200 children 1/3 of the regular dose and found that the 2 shots were 91% effective against symptomatic disease.
That's an incredible finding. That's actually more effective than a lot of routine childhood vaccines we use.
Pfizer says any side effects from the vaccine were mild and that none of the children came down with myocarditis, a rare swelling of the heart muscle. 8-year-old Sebastian Priball in North Carolina says the only thing he felt was a sore arm and a slight fever for a few days.
All done.
You did it.
Was that bad? You did so well.
He was part of the trial and will soon learn for sure if his shots were real.
You might be a little scared at first, but honestly, it can help others and it can help your family. It can help you not get sick.
Here's what health officials are trying to fight. Nearly 2 million American children in this age group have gotten sick during this pandemic. More than 8,300 had to be hospitalized, a third of them in the ICU.
Kids can also get the long COVID consequences. Some of them just don't seem to recover. They have the fatigue, the brain fog makes it hard to function in school. So that's another reason to try to provide the protection.
The Pfizer production lines are ready with 65 million doses set to ship, more than enough to fully vaccinate about 28 million eligible American children. But many parents aren't as excited. A new survey finds that only about a third with children in this age group are saying that they will vaccinate their kids right away.
My strongest advice would be to listen to the people that you've always listened to with the help of your children. And I know that's what I did.
Chris Erickson in Minnesota says she would vaccinate her son today. 10-year-old Bentley has special needs.
We're ready to go back to school as soon as possible, as soon as he gets his vaccine. He has not played with his friends since February of 2020, and he would do just about anything to be able to go out on the playground again.
So let's bring in Steve Osunsami with us from Atlanta tonight. Steve, the FDA is expected to sign off on the panel's recommendation and officially authorize this vaccine for children. And then we've all learned how this works along the way. This then goes to the CDC.
That's right, David. A CDC advisory panel will meet next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, and they'll discuss this and make recommendations. Then it's up to the CDC director as to whether she will follow those recommendations. But the bottom line is that children in this age group could start getting vaccinated by the end of next week. David?
All right, Steve, we appreciate it tonight, and we know many parents have questions at home, and as Steve reported, many parents are still hesitant. So Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, is back with us again tonight. And Dr. Jha, you heard our reporting there. Steve reporting on that study, about one-third of parents say they're ready to vaccinate their children right away. The rest say maybe not right away. We always know that when the FDA panel comes out in favor, that likely helps those numbers. We also know that you're a dad and a doctor. How comfortable are you with vaccinating your youngest child? Help our viewers through this.
Yeah, good evening, David. Thanks for having me back. I am very comfortable. I've examined the data. I think the evidence here is overwhelmingly clear. My 9-year-old is going to benefit from this vaccine. It's going to protect him. It's going to protect his family. I think that is clearly the right thing to do at this moment.
And Dr. Jha, I know part of the interest in getting children vaccinated is not just to protect them from death and hospitalization, like we've heard every step of the way here, but also against these long-term effects, because you know, we still don't know very much about the long-haul effects we're already seeing in some children.
Yeah, that's right, David. And one of the reasons we really care about protecting children is not just about death and hospitalizations. Those, of course, are rare, but very, very important. But we want kids to thrive. We want them to grow up healthy and strong. I think vaccines are going to be an important part of protecting children and families as we move forward in this pandemic.
All right, Dr. Jha with us here again tonight. We thank you as always. We turn next tonight to the first nor'easter of the season. 40 million people on alert as we go into the evening hours from North Carolina all the way up to Maine, and states of emergency already in New York and New Jersey at this hour. The storm rapidly intensifying, a potential bomb cyclone with powerful winds up to 75 mile per hour wind gusts just in the coming hours tonight. The storm developing rapidly today, flooding rains on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway here in New York, an ambulance making its way through the high water on Staten Island. High surf and pounding waves along the shore. This is Clinton, Connecticut right here. And homes boarded up in Scituate, Massachusetts tonight. They're bracing for hurricane force wind gusts. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano, not only tracking this, but also this new cross-country storm, which will move into the east later in the week. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. Very active. And after 2 to 4 inches of rainfall here in the New York metro area, it is still raining, but we're transitioning from rain to rain and wind. Here's where that nor'easter is. It's off the coast of Massachusetts, and it's not really going to go anywhere anytime too quickly. So flood watches remain up, and now those high wind warnings up, especially for the coastline. You see the rotation of that moisture off towards the west. So very slow mover here, and the winds will pick up overnight by tomorrow morning in the New York City area, over 30 miles per hour on Rhode Island, over 50 miles an hour on the Cape, over 60 miles an hour. Saturated ground, those kind of winds. You're going to see trees come down. You are going to see some power outages. And that other system that is now entering the plains, damaging winds and tornadoes possible overnight tonight. Very dangerous situation there, and that will progress to the northeast by the end of the week. David?
All right, Rob, we thank you as always. We continue now in new details tonight on that fatal shooting on the set of the movie Rust. A search warrant revealing weapons and ammunition were seized from the set. The cast and crew were preparing to film inside this church, as you already know, and for the first time tonight, the scene inside the church. and also new questions about the assistant director who authorities say handed Alec Baldwin that gun, what allegedly happened on a previous movie set. ABC's Kaylee Hartung in Santa Fe again tonight.
Tonight, for the first time, a look at the cast and crew of Rust inside the church where that fatal shooting occurred. The film's star, Alec Baldwin, in the center. The crew, including cinematographer Helena Hutchins, surrounding him. At the Bonanza Creek Ranch in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a search warrant revealing investigators seized at least 3 revolvers, 9 spent casings, and multiple boxes of ammunition, some found loose in a fanny pack. It's not clear whether they were blanks or bullets. The evidence gathered after a prop gun in Baldwin's hands fired, killing Hutchins and injuring director Joel Souza 5 days ago.
Hollywood, the entertainment industry as a whole, have been shaken to the core, literally, by this, because we deal with prop guns every single day. It's a tough blow. It's a tough blow to our craft.
And now a past allegation of unsafe practices emerging about assistant director Dave Halls, who authorities say handed Baldwin the weapon. A producer for the movie Freedom's Path telling ABC News, Halls was fired from a previous film set in 2019 when a different prop gun unexpectedly discharged, injuring a crew member. ABC News has reached out to Halls for comment but has not heard back. According to search warrants, Baldwin was preparing for a scene in this church when Halls handed him the Colt revolver and yelled "Colt gun" to indicate it wasn't loaded. Baldwin was rehearsing, pointing the revolver towards the camera lens as Hutchins and Souza stood behind the camera.
We need some help. Our director and our camerawoman has been shot.
One crew member who witnessed the shooting telling investigators he was not sure why the firearm was discharged and just remembered the loud bang. And tonight, the Daily Mail publishing these new photos of the armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed days after the shooting. Authorities say she prepared the prop gun before Halls took it off a cart, but investigators say he did not know the gun contained live rounds. And David, we're told investigators are trying to get additional search warrants signed off on as we speak. Tonight, the district attorney telling us everything is on the table, including criminal charges. That press conference tomorrow will hopefully give us a clear picture of where this investigation's heading. David.
All right, Kaylee Hartung there in New Mexico. Kaylee, thank you. We turn now to Washington. President Biden preparing to travel to Europe for the Global Climate Summit. We'll be traveling too. The president hoping to arrive with a big domestic victory under his belt. But tonight, as you know, the clock is ticking. Democrats now in the end game of negotiations over his massive domestic agenda, everything from universal pre-K, childcare, expanded Medicare, vision and dental, to fighting climate change. But of course, one major question remains, how to pay for it all. Tonight here, one idea now gaining momentum involving corporations that make a billion or more in profits, celebrating those profits with their shareholders, but then in many cases paying little or no taxes at all on those profits. So here's the idea tonight, a 15% minimum tax for those corporations reporting at least a billion in profit. It would affect about 200 corporations, including Amazon. And as I mentioned, some of those corporations pay no taxes at all on these profits. So let's get right to Rachel Scott, who's been tracking this every step of the way. It's getting a big vote of support, I know, Rachel, from a key senator who didn't want broad-based tax hikes for the wealthy, but she has signaled that she might support this idea now.
Yes, David, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, she's been a key moderate holdout during these negotiations. She has said very little on the record about what she supports, but tonight she is endorsing this plan, calling it a common sense step toward ensuring that highly profitable corporations pay a reasonable minimum corporate tax. David, Democrats for weeks have been working to try and figure out a way to pay for this nearly $2 trillion package. Tonight it appears they are one step closer.
So Rachel, bottom line, the question I've been asking you for weeks now, the president hoping for a vote before he leaves for Europe. Does he get the vote?
Well, David, several Democrats I spoke to today say that if Democrats do not reach a deal, it would weaken the president's hand on the world stage, especially before that big climate summit. But bottom line, there are still some key differences that remain, and they are running out of time, David.
All right, Rachel Scott on the Hill following this for us every hour. Thank you, Rachel. Next tonight, we have new developments in that deadly shooting at a mall in Boise, Idaho. Tonight, authorities say the suspect had multiple firearms and ammunition and that he has now died from his injuries during a gun battle with police. At least 5 others injured and 2 people were killed, but authorities still don't know why. Alex Perez is there.
Tonight, authorities revealing that the shooter in the deadly attack at a shopping mall in Boise was in possession of multiple firearms. Investigators announcing that suspect, 27-year-old Jacob Berquist, died at a hospital today. With help from the feds, investigators are still working to determine what led the shooter to open fire, killing two, injuring at least five. The nightmare unfolding Monday afternoon. Authorities responding to reports of shots fired at the Boise Town Square Mall.
Primary suspect may have ran by the Dave and Buster's wearing dark clothes.
Police rushing to the scene and quickly engaging with someone who matched the suspect's description as he ran from the mall, exchanging gunfire and wounding him.
This was an individual that acted cowardly and acted alone.
Tragically killed 49-year-old Roberto Padilla Argelis and mall security guard Joe Acker. Authorities telling Acker's family that the 26-year-old died while confronting the shooter.
Joe has always been a hero. This is very difficult. And Joe was my baby.
And David, the entire mall here was closed today out of respect for the victims. Authorities say the suspect was known and he had previous contact with mall security for disruptive behavior. David?
All right, Alex Perez tonight in Idaho. Thank you, Alex. Overseas tonight, new concern over Queen Elizabeth and her health. The 95-year-old queen has now canceled her trip to the climate summit in Glasgow. It is the second trip that she's canceled in recent days. And here's our senior foreign correspondent, Ian Pannell.
Tonight, Buckingham Palace announcing Queen Elizabeth is cancelling plans to attend next week's United Nations Climate Conference in Scotland. The 95-year-old spent a night in hospital last week after cancelling another trip and has been advised to rest by her doctors. The Queen had been due to host President Biden and other world leaders at the start of the summit. Climate change, a very important issue for the royals.
It's a bit of a disappointment, I think, for everybody that she can't host that meeting. She was very much looking forward to doing it.
Her Majesty was recently caught on a microphone appearing to criticise the lack of global action. Earlier today, the Queen was seen back at her desk carrying out virtual meetings, the first time she's been seen in public since her hospital visit. Buckingham Palace tight-lipped on precisely what medical procedures she underwent, a royal source saying only it wasn't COVID-related. The palace stressing the Queen remains in good spirits.
The palace stressing that the Queen remains in good spirits, but I think despite those public assurances, there are going to be some real doubts tonight about quite how candid the palace is really being about the Queen's health. David?
Yeah, and people are just worried about her. Ian Pannell tonight. Ian, thank you. And when we come back here at home tonight, the boy found dead in the family home. Authorities say he'd been there for a year, his siblings there the entire time. And news coming in from China tonight, a new lockdown over COVID.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Overseas tonight in China now, with a new lockdown in a city of 4 million. Because of new COVID fears, widespread testing now underway in the city of Lanzhou in northwestern China. China says six new cases reported today, 39 over the last week. China with a zero COVID policy. But as you know, questions from the beginning over their transparency with numbers early on. Back here at home tonight, disturbing new details about three children apparently abandoned at a home in Houston. Authorities now ruling the death of a 9-year-old boy discovered in the apartment a homicide. Three brothers, ages 7, 10, and 15, living with the body for nearly a year. The boy is now being treated for injuries and malnutrition. The mother and her boyfriend, who live nearby, have not been charged. Child Protective Services confirming a history with the family, but no active investigation, they say, was underway. To the index tonight and what will be a more expensive Thanksgiving this year, economists pointing to supply, transportation, and labor shortages. Every part of dinner expected to cost more, from the turkey to dessert. Prices for meat, poultry, fish, and eggs up more than 10% in some places over last year. Finally tonight here, the dream of finding the car you remember from your childhood. Tonight in Union, Kentucky, John Barry and his children in the very car he rode in when he was a child. John was just 15 when his mother Janice died. His favorite memories of her driving together in her green 71 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. For years, he would search for that car. He finally found it, a car collector in Rapid City, Michigan, who didn't want to sell. John checked in every year for 20 years, and this year, the answer was yes.
He's a gentleman who's 81 years old, and he said, I got to thinking about your desire for the car, and I think it was time to let it go.
John traveling 500 miles to get his mom's old car. Now John and his kids, Arden and Hudson, in the backseat.
Hi, David.
Tonight, John on his new old car.
My memories are now reestablished with not only the car, but my mother.
That 71 Cutlass Supreme, still in mint condition. His mom would be happy.
It's a true miracle, David. The car looks, feels, sounds exactly as it did when my mom used to drive it.
And incredibly, some of his mother's things, even handwritten notes, still in the glove box.
There are a pair of my mom's sunglasses that I finally remember her wearing when she put the top down and take the car for a spin.
Tonight, John telling us, never give up.
If you have a dream and you pursue it and stay with it, it can come true. My family and I are going to enjoy the car for years to come, and the memory of my mother lives on through this amazing journey.
Mom's car is home again, and so are her sunglasses. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.